Think about the fundamentals like fuel, and the tactics are your vehicle. Man, if you can take a tactic, you can take a car, but without fuel, I mean, yeah, I might be able to push it down the road to a certain place, but at some point I'm going to tire out and it's going to stop.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Tim Fitzpatrick of Rialto Marketing. Guess what? We're going to talk about marketing today. Three facts you should know about Tim. One, he's been an entrepreneur for 25 plus years. Two, his first company grew 60% over year before being acquired in 2005. And three, he tells me he's got an incredibly dry sense of humor. And that people who don't really know him well sometimes think that he's really serious when he's actually kidding. So remember, when he's really serious, he's kidding. Tim Fitzpatrick, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thanks for having me, George. I'm happy to be here.
Delighted to be talking with you all the way from Colorado today. And Tim, marketing, if there's one statement, bold statement that you could deliver to business owners when it comes to marketing, one statement that they need to get that they're maybe not getting clearly enough, what would be that statement?
I would say marketing shouldn't be difficult. All you need is the right plan.
The right plan. Yeah. And so that suggests that A, people either don't have a plan.
Yes.
Or for some reason they create the wrong plan. Why does that happen?
I think the biggest reason that happens is just information overload. There's the first business I was involved in. You mentioned wholesale distribution company. When I was in that business, it was mid-90s when I got into that business. And marketing then was totally different than it is now. You know, websites were informational brochures. There was no social media. There wasn't search engines at that point. It was totally different. Now, there's all kinds of marketing channels. You know, you have paid online advertising, you've got email marketing, you have social, you have content, you have your website, right? The list goes on and on and on. And within those channels, there's all kinds of tactics. And so many people are just battling information overload. They're like, what do I do? Like, what's the next step that I need to take based on where I am to get to where I want to go? And there's too many choices. We're just overloaded, you know? It's like going into the grocery store and you're at the cereal aisle. It's like people that aren't from the US that come into the cereal aisle in the US are like, oh my God, what the hell? Like, you have like four different kinds of Chex. What's going on? There's too many choices and people don't know what the next best thing is for them to focus on. That's the biggest problem, I think.
So I'm wondering, Tim, is the overload, certainly from the point of view of the buyer, there's information overload. And I suppose, too, from the point of view of the marketer who wants to do a successful job, they're also bombarded with messages about how they should be marketing. And they're wondering, well, what should I do now? Oh, there's a new social media. Should I be on there? This guy tells me I should. This one says, no, don't, that's not your market. And yeah. And so I'm guessing the choices are confusing marketers. Should we be on TikTok? Should we be on Pinterest? What approach, and with all the channels, should we pick, I don't know, two, three channels that we think we can do well on and forget the rest?
That's a great question. And the answer is it depends, because there are multiple facets that come into play here. The first thing that we need to do, though, to determine where we should be focusing is where we're starting from. We have to get a baseline of where we're starting from. Because if I take two identical businesses, let's say two accountants, right? My recommendations for those two accountants are going to be different because they're starting from a different place. They probably don't have the same exact goals for their business. Well, those things all are going to impact what you need to do from a marketing perspective. So we have to get a baseline first of where we're starting from. So George, you got to think about it like this. Think about it like your GPS. I want to go to the airport. My GPS cannot tell me how the hell to get there until I tell it where I'm starting from first. So that's all we're doing at this first step is, where are we starting from? What do we have in place? Do we have a good website? You know, does it have a clear message? Do we have good calls to action? What other marketing have we been doing? What's working? What's not? Right? Because, man, why, if we've been doing stuff and it's not working, we need to change. Either that doesn't mean that it's the wrong tactic. Maybe we've got some things out of whack that we need to fix, but we first need to identify where we're at to determine what we need to do moving forward.
So where we're at is determined by how we're doing right now, I guess.
It's not necessarily how you're doing, it's what you're doing. So when we look at, you know, the various marketing channels, right? First and foremost, look, I focus on the fundamentals first. That's what we do. That's what we want to be known for. Your target market and your ideal clients within that market, that's who you intend to work with. You need to know your who before you can do anything. Once you know your who, then you can start to look at how are we going to create a message that is going to grab their attention and gain their interest. But you can't create a message to grab people's attention and interest until you first know who the heck they are and what's important to them. And then from there, then you can look at, okay, what's my plan to get that message in front of those people? Where am I going to go to get in front of those specific people? One of the big mistakes a lot of people make is they target everybody. They're fishing in the ocean, casting a line out in the middle of the ocean going, don't know what I'm going to catch today, but hopefully it's something. Rather than being hyper-targeted and going, hey, I'm fishing for trout. I'm going to the local trout pond. I know it's stocked with trout. I know when I put my line there, I am going to catch a trout. We need to, unless you're a huge business, Fortune 1000, Fortune 500, you have a huge budget, you cannot target broadly. It costs hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more, to market broadly. So we have to focus and we have to know who we intend to work with. That's why, and everything from a marketing standpoint starts from your who. Who do you intend to work with? You have to know that first and foremost. But then from there, then we start to look at, okay, well, what else are we doing from a marketing standpoint? And all I want people to do is just take note of it. What have you put in place that's still in place? And what do you continue to do on a regular basis from a marketing standpoint? That's going to help us determine the baseline.
Tim, as you pointed out, marketing in the 90s certainly was different channel-wise than marketing today. Have the fundamentals of marketing changed, or just the application of those fundamentals?
The fundamentals have not changed. The fundamentals in any discipline don't change, right? The fundamentals of standing up and hitting a fastball are the same today as they were 50 years ago, and they're going to be the same 50 years from now. So to me, the fundamentals in any discipline, they're immutable. They do not change. I think one of the things that is really difficult, like George, when we're touching on information overload, with so many tactics and so many channels, it's very easy for people to skip the fundamentals and just overlook them, because there's all kinds of people going, well, you know, George, you got to be on TikTok, or you have to be on Clubhouse, or you have to have a podcast or a YouTube channel. And they immediately jump to taking action without actually having a plan or a reason for why they are doing that. So to me, the tactics in marketing are just as important as the sequencing. The sequencing is critically important. If you get things out of sequence, they're not going to work, which is why a lot of people, you know, say, well, oh yeah, I did SEO or I did social media. It didn't work. Well, it's working for a bunch of other people. So there's something out of whack. And inevitably what is out of whack is at least one or more of the fundamentals.
And tell us about those fundamentals. Is there a handful that we should know about?
Yeah, so, you know, again, the way I look at the fundamentals, target market, messaging to that market, what you say to that market, you have to have a message to market match, as Dan Kennedy says. My message has to match the market that I intend to attract. And then you have to have a plan of how you're going to get that message in front of those people. Where are you going to be with your marketing to get the message in front of the right people? Those three fundamentals, I call them the marketing strategy trilogy. Those fundamentals lay the foundation for you to build the rest of your marketing house from. So when people just immediately get tactical and start to take action, well, I got to have a website and I got to have a YouTube channel, and they skip those fundamentals, they're building a house without a foundation, which we all know, look, that may work for a period of time, but at some point, like when things get rough, that house is going to crumble. So you're far better off taking the time now to build the proper foundation so that the tactics you use are going to work as well as they should. Think about the fundamentals like fuel, and the tactics are your vehicle. Man, if you can take a tactic, you can take a car, but without fuel, I mean, yeah, I might be able to push it down the road to a certain place, but at some point I'm going to tire out and it's going to stop. The tactics are the fundamentals are the fuel that you're putting in your car so that it works.
I'm curious about the first step, the target. What type of descriptors should we be exploring in putting together what this target looks like?
Yeah. So I think the first thing we need to ask is, like, how do I start to identify who my ideal clients might be? And for an existing business, I think the answer already lives in your existing and past customer base. That's the easiest place to start. And what I like to do is recommend people ask themselves three questions. One is, who do you enjoy working with? Why the hell do we want to work with people that are going to make our lives difficult every day? Like, there's no point in that. So let's look at the clients that we've worked with that we loved working with. Second, who are our most profitable clients? And profit does not necessarily correlate to top line revenue. A lot of people say, oh yeah, my largest customer in top line revenue is X. And when they really dig into it, those customers aren't that profitable. You know, that's not always the case, but what ends up happening sometimes with large customers is they may take a lot of our time. They may squeeze us on price. And so they're not as profitable as we think. They may drive top line revenue, but they may actually not be as good a customer as we think. So profit, not top line revenue. Who are our most profitable clients? And then three, who do we do our best work for? Who do we get the greatest results for? If you ask yourself those three power questions, you end up with a subset of current and past customers that you love working with, that were profitable, that you did great work for. In my opinion, it is that group that you start to dig into the details to determine who your ideal clients are. And how you do that is you start to look at the demographics, right? The demographics are the numbers associated with the people in that group. That could be age range, you know, income, job title, industry they work in. I mean, there's all kinds of different, could be where they live geographically, what kind of house do they live in, what's their education level, right? These are all numbers that we can associate with a particular person that help start to paint the picture of what they're like. But the second thing that I think is equally, if not more important, are the psychographics. The psychographics tell you why people buy. What problems do they have as it relates to what you do? What goals do they have? What aspirations, you know, do they have? You know, where do they want to be? Where do they want to get to? How do they make buying decisions? You know, what types of behaviors can you associate with those people? when you start to dig into the demographics and the psychographics, inevitably what happens is some smaller subgroups with commonalities come to the surface. It is those subgroups that have those commonalities that are typically going to be your ideal clients. And you should not have more than three, 1 to 3, in my opinion. If you can go with one, I think you're better off going with one to begin with. But as your business expands, you may expand out into other ideal client types, but I don't think you should have more than three. And when I say no more than three, the biggest roadblock people have is they're like, well, gosh, if that's all I'm going to focus on, then I'm going to lose business. What I am telling you is these are the only people you are going to focus your marketing efforts towards. It doesn't mean those are the only people you're going to do business with, but we have to focus our marketing efforts to the people that we think are going to be the best people for us to work with. And if we know we're targeting our marketing towards people that we love working with, that are profitable, that we get great results for, man, I don't know anybody that doesn't want to work with those type of people.
Sounds like an ideal working relationship, working with people you like to work with and profitable at the same time. I can't think of a better combination. And I imagine that those ideal people, we probably need to be having more conversations with them to dig deeper into what's motivating them. We probably need to be coming up with more questions. And if there's a question or two that we might go out to those ideal customers, if we could have coffee with them or lunch with them or breakfast or just sit down and just ask them 1 or 2, 3 questions, what would be those kind of questions that would help us better understand them and better serve them?
Yeah. So I love this question. And this leads right in. You have the Your Intended Message podcast here. That's what we're moving into as you interview clients. You cannot create messaging that is going to gain your audience's attention and interest until you understand them completely. You need to be able to enter the conversation they're having in their head as it relates to what you do. And we need to speak in their language, not our own. And the only way we can do that is by doing research. And the easiest place to start is exactly what you just said. We always recommend people interview their existing and past customers. Once you know who those ideal clients are, then you can reach out to them, say, hey, as a current or past customer, we value your opinion. We would love to just chat with you and ask you a little bit more about what your experience has been with us. Would you be willing to take 10, 15 minutes? Awesome. Great. Cool. So when you sit down and have that conversation, there's a lot of different questions you can ask, but they all need to fall in this realm. One, when you started looking for companies like ours, what was the problem that you had that you needed to solve? How had you tried to solve that problem in the past and it didn't work? How is it making you feel? How did you find us? Why did you choose us? What about us versus our competitors made you choose us? In working with us, what's been the biggest benefit or result that you've gained in working with us? Why do you love working with us? And in some of these, we need to dig deeper. Somebody says, well, gosh, you have great customer service. Well, awesome. Anybody can say that. Who cares? Right? So when they say, well, you have great customer service, hey, can you give me a time or two where we showed that great customer service? Like, what happened that made you feel that way? So sometimes we need to dig below the surface, because what we really want to get to is, the results that they're looking for, right? Or the results that we've given them, there's surface level results, right? Oh, well, we helped them generate more leads, so they grew their business. But why it was that important? We want to get to the stuff that's at the heart of them. Because when we can dig below the surface, it's those things that are really going to hit on, So it's like, did we help them be able to spend more time with their family, right? You know, but a lot of people talk about helping people make more money. Well, great. But it's not about the money. It's about what the money can do for them. So what is it that money can do for them that they're looking for? We want to understand that. Because when we can talk about those things, that's what's really going to hit them emotionally and get them to entice them to take that next step. So it's questions like that you want to ask.
And you just mentioned the word emotionally. I'm guessing that the emotions are what we want to have a better appreciation for.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. People buy on emotion, right? They, what do they say? That people buy on emotion and they justify it with logic. So we need to know what we need to say that's going to get them emotionally, because that's what's going to get them to start to take action. And the only way we can do that is by talking to them. And we need to listen to how they say it, right? Marketers do this all the time, right? Where we anybody that is selling their expertise, right? We've got this curse of knowledge. We can talk at a 8, 9, 10. We need to talk at a 2 or 3. That's not to demean anybody that we're reaching out to that we want to work with. It's just, if we talk in techno babble, it's going to fall on deaf ears. So we need to hear what they're saying. And when we talk about benefits, we communicate those benefits and those problems in their words, because it's their words that are going to resonate with them, not ours. Mm. And the only way we can understand that is if we talk to them, you know. Now, if you're just getting into a market and you don't understand it, well, you know what? You don't have past customers. So where the heck do you go? Well, guess what? Google is your friend. There is so much information online. You can go to forums, you know, Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, you know, associations do all kinds of, you know, studies, case studies, things like that. You just start doing Google searches for people that are in your target market, and you can see what people are starting to say. Online reviews, another treasure trove of information. Find out who your competitors are in the market you're going to get into and look at what their customers are saying in their reviews. That's another great place to go. So even if you don't have existing and past customers, you can simply do this research. It's not easy because you still have to do work, but it is simple to do this.
Do you recommend that once we think we know what our best customers want, do you recommend testing the messaging in various formats, various positioning to see what's working?
Yeah, you can absolutely look. Marketing is all about testing. I could take one thing that works for one business and apply it to another, and it doesn't work because there's nuances in every market. And so we always need to be testing. What I can tell you is if you do that initial work up front and you talk to your clients, you're going to be able to move forward with a message that you can be pretty confident in. But again, you are going to need to test it. Certain problems that you talk about may resonate better than others. As the market changes, you may see one message doesn't work quite as well as another. So yeah, you're always going to be testing it. And if you're not sure, right? Like if the information that you got from your interviews or from the research you've done did points to multiple problems, right? And you want to find out what problem is going to resonate best, then yes, you need to test it. And you can test that. You can test it on social media. You can test it with paid ads. You can test it in conversations with people and just see what's resonating and what's not. So I think it's important to have consistency in your message. So you should not be changing your message every week, right? But as you test and you get the data, you need to be consistent with that message for a period of time, and or you need to have a very valid reason why you're going to change it.
And the message itself, what's the best form of the message? Is it a matter of promises, promises of benefits, promise of results? Is it a matter of conversation? Is it or storytelling? Are those different, or should it be all of those?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all of those, George. When we work on messaging, we use a storytelling framework that was popularized by StoryBrand. It just makes tons of sense. It's simple for people to understand. And we all look, storytelling and marketing is not new. It has been around forever. Storytelling and marketing works, but the StoryBrand framework, they took what most people know of as the hero's journey. And they just put it into a format that makes a lot of sense to people. But one of the reasons why it works so well is when you use storytelling, what you are doing is you are inviting your customer into a story where they are the hero and you are the guide. One of the biggest mistakes with marketing messaging is people talk about themselves. They talk about themselves and they make it difficult for people to understand what they do. This is the two biggest mistakes. Our customers do not care about us. They care about what we can do for them, how we can help them solve this problem that they have and get to where they want to be, which is why it's so important to position our companies as the guide. If you think about the guide in the story, the guide knows exactly what the hero needs to do. Yoda knows exactly what Luke Skywalker needs to do because he was in Luke's shoes. He is now a Jedi. He is schooled. He's done it all. He knows what to do. Luke, on the other hand, has a problem. He has no idea how the hell to solve it. He is stuck. And that guide, Yoda, can lay out, hey, Luke, you need to take these three steps to get across to the other side, and you will then be where you want to be. That's why we want to position ourselves as the guide. But if we talk about ourselves too much, what we end up doing is positioning ourselves as the hero. And heroes got problems. So why would we want to be the hero for any long period of time? Right? We need to talk about ourselves enough to position ourselves as the guide. From there, our message needs to focus on the customer and the problem they have and don't want, or the result they want and don't have. Those are the things we focus on. And we need to be clear and consistent. People try to get clever with their messaging and it falls flat because it makes people think too much. It's like, what do they mean by that? Man, if people are thinking that, we've lost them. They're gone. Because confused people do not buy. So err on the side of clear.
Tim, I'm intrigued by the concept of presenting ourselves when we're marketing, be the guide, not the hero, make the client, the customer, the hero. Can you give us an example of a brand, an organization who you believe that does that well?
Oh man, that's a good question. I don't have any right off the top of my head. What I can say.
Did Apple do that?
I don't know. Again, I think it's a good question. I don't have a good example for you. Here's what I'll tell you. How do you position yourself as the guide? If you think about guides have two characteristics. They show empathy and they have authority and credibility. So that's how you position yourself as the guide. Empathy. I understand what it's like to be in your shoes. I know what it's like to battle information overload with your marketing. You know, we know how difficult it is when you're just overwhelmed and you don't know what that next step should be, right? It's just about letting people know that, hey, I empathize with you. I know what it's like to be in your shoes. And then trust, authority, credibility, there's all kinds of ways we can do that and position ourselves. Testimonials, certifications, awards we've won. If we've worked with high profile customers that people may know, we can use that. All of those things combined help establish our space as the guide in the story. And from there, we don't talk about anything else other than the customer and how we can help them. What solution do we have to the problem that they are currently experiencing?
And Tim, while listening to you talk about the guide and the importance of empathy, it occurs to me that I suppose our marketing message in order to grab their attention, it probably needs to start more with empathy than the promise, than the result. So I think we need to show first that we, from what you're saying, that we need to understand the client before they're going to listen to us.
Absolutely, George. And it's the problem that they have that we need to focus on initially. Because the problem is where they're currently at. The problem, when we talk about their problems, that's the hook that's going to initially gain their attention. So we have to focus there first and foremost.
Mm. So I can see opening lines like missed another deadline, or just keep trying to lose weight and it's not working, or some kind of some line showing empathy where we're saying, okay, we understand that. We've been through that. Here's what we've learned.
Well, or like I said this earlier, with marketing shouldn't be difficult. That's a problem. It's a problem for a lot of people. They're just like, God, I just feel like I'm throwing spaghetti up against a wall and nothing's sticking. Why? It shouldn't be this difficult. Why is it this hard? Well, it shouldn't be that way. Right. So, I mean, our customers typically, I mean, there certainly is one overarching main problem, but there are a lot of problems that they're experiencing that our solutions can address. And we just need to know what the really important problems are for us to focus on. And once we understand that, then our message can start to focus on those problems that we can uniquely solve.
Tim, if our listeners want to learn more about Rialto Marketing, the programs, the services you offer, where can they best find you?
The best place to go is our website, which is Rialto Marketing, which is RIALTOmarketing.com. I also, if they go to growthmarketingplan.com, that's growthmarketingplan.com, they can get our 90-day marketing plan toolkit right there. All the downloads, all the tools to get started on your initial 90-day marketing plan are all right there. And nothing great was ever accomplished without a plan first.
So. I like it. I think I'll look at that 90-day marketing plan. Could be valuable. Tim, in wrapping up, if you could offer marketers 1, 2, or 3 points of advice to keep them focused, to heading in the right direction instead of skittering all over the place, what might be those 1, 2, or 3 pieces of advice?
One, you have to have a plan. Because if you don't have a plan, then you don't know what your priorities are. When you have a plan, you know what your priorities are and you have clarity. That helps eliminate all the noise and the information overload. That's first and foremost. Second, you got to focus on the fundamentals. If you don't truly understand target market and your message to that market, you're going to waste time and money. You're just going to be, again, you're throwing tactics up against the wall, hoping something sticks. And inevitably it's not going to, or if something does, you have no reason, you have no idea why. So take the time to get those things in place. The last thing I will say is focus on what's already working. Something in your business is already working. That is the lowest hanging fruit in your business, because you do not have to be everywhere. You do not. You asked this in the beginning, George. There are businesses that are in 2 or 3 marketing channels that are wildly successful. You do not have to be everywhere. The best place to start, the lowest hanging fruit, is what is already working in your business. Look at that process, because I guarantee you there are gaps in it that you could fill and get better results. Or you could do more of some of the steps in your process to generate even better results. Optimize what's already working first before you jump into new channels and new tactics.
A lot of practical, valuable advice there. Tim Fitzpatrick, my guest today is Tim Fitzpatrick of Rialto Marketing, reminding you that in your marketing, present yourself as the guide. Show empathy for your customer and help them present them as the hero.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.